Five Counties, One Station. You are listening to Beat, and April is Autism Acceptance Month, just around the corner, and it's fostering on inclusion, understanding and validation for people with autism. And with that in mind, a special event is happening on March 25th, organised by the Cottish Autism Network, or CAN. Fiona Griffin is the CAN chairperson, and she joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to tell us more. You're very welcome, Fiona.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good to talk to you. Now, you have your own backstory and experience with autism, don't you?
I do, yeah. So I suppose I have three children who are autistic. So I got involved with Cottage Autism Network just to kind of help support activities within the community.
Oh, there's one of your kids. Who's that?
That's Joshua. He's always very excited when he hears me talking on the phone. He wants to be involved in everything.
And what age is Joshua?
So Joshua is 5.
Okay. And what, you've another boy and a girl, have you?
I do, yeah. So I have his older brother who is 8 and then his younger sister who is 4.
Okay, and they all have a diagnosis?
They all have a diagnosis, yeah.
And is that a weight off your mind when the diagnosis comes in, or?
I suppose not really, because the fighting kind of nearly doesn't really stop.
Because
you get the diagnosis, so like it's a long journey to get the diagnosis because you have to go through so many steps. You get the diagnosis and then it's school placements and school supports and stuff like that. Like, for example, like Joshua, he's due to start primary school in September and he has no autism class placement at the moment. So realistically, he won't be able to access school because mainstream just doesn't have the appropriate support for him to be able to, you know, be able to go to school, basically.
Wow, that's so tough.
And there's a few children in Wexford who are in the same situation, which is quite unfortunate because, you know, I mean, every child, you know, deserves the right to go to school with the appropriate supports. But
and does your older boy have appropriate supports in school?
So he's in an autism class, and he has been, so he went to early intervention and he's in the same school as he was in. So he's been in the same school since he was 3. So we're really lucky in his situation, you know.
Yeah.
And then Joshua, he's in an early intervention class as well. So it's like he's receiving supports now, but it's what do we do in September? So it's just one of those things.
And is do you find that each experience with each of your kids is different?
100%. Yeah. I mean, there's they're all completely different, and they all have their own strengths, and they all have their own challenges, you know, and different kind of situations you have to approach in different ways because, you know, it's so individualized, you know. You can't approach the same thing with a different child. It's literally the best thing is go with the child's lead and kind of try support as best you can. Like my oldest son, he would have been on the severe side, so he would be non-speaking, but he's well able to communicate. I mean, he uses a communication device, so he has an AAC device.
Okay.
But he would use love and he responds really well to love as well. So like his comprehensive language is brilliant, you know, and academically he is flying it. It's just that you know, it's in different things, like his emotional regulation he would struggle with and stuff like that. So if he's not being understood, that level of frustration would be there, you know, because understandably, if you're trying to communicate something and it's not being understood, I can't imagine how frustrating that must be for him, you know. So for Callum's journey started when he was around 18 months old. And then Joshua's would have been quite similar. He, like, you know, it was the kind of routine based, and even though like they're both autistic, like they both presented very, very differently. And then with my daughter, then she would be very, like, you probably heard term female presenting autism.
Okay.
So she would be very, very kind of introverted. So if she is, say, what they say, going into crisis, she would shut down.
Okay.
So she would stop talking and stuff like that, and she would hide away and withdraw. Whereas with boys, there's this kind of representation that when they go into crisis, it's very physical and stuff like that. But like that's just not the case. There's different types and different variations depending on the situation and how it's affecting them at that time. It's not been the same journey for each. It's been very different. But yeah, it's just one of those things. You kind of, you see your child needs support and you just kind of try to get them as best as possible, you know.
Thank you for telling us all that, because I think almost when you haven't the experience of it, people are very afraid to offend, obviously, and ask questions. And I think that's one of the reasons that you're having this special night on March 25th. And it's a autism experience simulator. And I suppose it's about education and acceptance. Tell us a little bit about it.
So we actually encountered the autism simulator when Bluebird brought it over last year. And myself and another board member, Katie, we had went to it, and it was such an impactful experience for us. It's intense. It's very intense, is the only thing that I can describe it with, because I don't want to kind of ruin it on some people who are going to be going, you know. It's a very individualized experience, because it's hard to explain without giving it all away. But it gives you an insight on a completely different level of what an autistic person can experience just in everyday life. So like we always, like something that comes up a lot is invisible barriers.
Okay.
So they're invisible to the people who don't know they're there, if that makes any sense. Whereas if you are an individual, an autistic individual, or if you are supporting an autistic individual, you know those barriers are there, whether you can see them or not, you know? So I suppose you kind of, you look in and you try to kind of educate in things that affect you directly or someone you care about directly.
Okay.
So by organizing the virtual experience, is giving people this opportunity to experience something that they wouldn't necessarily get the opportunity unless it was there, you know?
Yeah, because it's hard to resonate with you, the idea of, you know, the, you know, people who might have spatial awareness issues, for example, or sensory challenges and things like that. And that's what the sensory experience is doing for you. Do you wear gloves and stuff like that? Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, so it definitely would make every, it kind of appeals to every sense, but every sense would be heightened. So you have gloves on, and you would have kind of earphones on, and there's like visual aspects to it as well. So it definitely appeals to all senses.
Okay. And how long is it for the experience?
So it's about, we have organized the corporate experience, so it's about 5 minutes long. I think it is altogether. I think it's about five or 10 minutes long is what it is.
Okay.
And it's to basically, we like, there's longer training sessions that they do, but we wanted to kind of reach as many people as possible.
Okay.
So the idea was to be able to provide the experience for our members,
okay,
but also to the community, so the likes of people who can make change. So local businesses, kind of local councillors, you know, stuff like that. So when we're trying to make sure that everybody is accommodated and there is those resources there, it's backed up by this experience. So when we say, you know, there's a barrier here, we need to work towards getting it down, they can, you know, think back to this experience and go, I understand where you're coming from. You know, because it's all about education at the end of the day. And you can't really make change if you don't really know what you're trying to change, if that makes any sense.
Oh, totally, totally. Well, look, it's on March 25th. It's all up on your Facebook if people want to have a look at that, which is Cottage Autism Network Wexford. Where is it on in Wexford?
So we have it on in Wexford Park. So they have, if you've seen it, they've kind of done it up and they have an education hub in there. So we'll be in there. So there'll be a nice kind of comfortable waiting space between people going in and participating in it.
Okay.
So So we have done a booking. So we've tried to kind of reach as many as possible is what we've tried to do.
Okay.
So people can book in a time slot. It's nearly actually fully booked at the moment. Okay. But if there is any available spaces, you will be able to access them on our social media page.
Cottage Autism Network on Facebook. And there's a link to the website there as well. And you can find out more details. That is March 25th. See if there is more slots available. Fiona Griffin, thanks a million for joining me. It sounds like you're really needed there right now. So I'm going to let you go. And Fiona is the Cottage Autism Network Chairperson. Thanks a million for talking to me on the Sunday Grill.
Thank you.